This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, powered by Insperity on SB Nation Radio.
And online at SBNationLive.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps, here's Brian Barrett.
All right, welcome in. If you're a fan of the American team in the Ryder Cup, not a fun day for you so far. The U.S. already trails 8-4 as the afternoon sessions are underway. Yesterday, of course, history was made. The first time since 1989 that the U.S. was swept in a alternate shot session. 4-0. The Europeans swept the U.S. yesterday. The U.S. starts off so well on Friday. Goes up 3-1 in the early sessions. Then they drop 4 straight. So we go into this morning with the U.S. trailing the Europeans 5-3, and then this morning happens, and again, it is the U.S. who struggles, and they only get one win in the early rounds. It was Jordan Spieth and Justin Thomas, who have now 2 of the 3 wins for the Americans in this, but it's 8-4 as we stand right now, and just updating you on what's going on in the afternoon so far over there in Paris. Bubba Watson, Webb Simpson, 2 up through 4 on Garcia and Norin. You have Johnson and Koepka, Rose and Stenson. That is even right now. Molinari and Fleetwood, 2 up through 3 on Tiger and DeChambeau. Okay, Molinari and Fleetwood have already won 3. This has been a team that has not been able to be stopped by anybody right now. And Ann Poulter and Rory McIlroy, 2 up through 2 on Jordan Spieth and Justin Thomas. This is the one pairing we've been able to depend on, if you're an American fan, is Jordan Spieth and Justin Thomas. And right now they're in trouble early against Ann Poulter and against Rory McIlroy. But man, the story has been Molinari, and it's been Tommy Fleetwood. This pair has been unbelievable. They beat Tiger Woods and Patrick Reed twice already, and now they're looking for more against Tiger Woods and Bryson DeChambeau. Now, Tiger Woods did not play poorly yesterday. He was fine this morning, but Patrick Reed was just horrible. Patrick Reed 0-2 in this tournament after being labeled Captain America after his previous performances in the Ryder Cup. Patrick Reed, out of 15 holes this morning, they only used 4 of his scores. 4 of his scores. Patrick Reed could not find the fairway at any point this morning. It was just an ugly performance all around from Reed. All right, a lot to get into this morning, of course. Charlie Epps is in Michigan, so he's going to join us coming up next. Also, Bill Harmon, as he does each and every week, will join the show as well. This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on SB Nation Radio and in Houston on SportsMap 94.1.
This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, powered by Insperity on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps, here's Brian Barrett.
All right, so we gave you the lowdown. The Americans down 8-4 heading into the afternoon sessions. Right now, Europe leads 2 of the matches. 1 is as is, and 1, the U.S. has the lead right now. Surprisingly, it's Bubba Watson and Webb Simpson that have the lead out there on the course right now, and we bring in the guys that can break this all down. Charlie Epps is live from Michigan this morning. Charlie, how are you?
You know, I am flabbergasted. This has just been incredible. I had never expected this domination. I thought it was going to be close. It could be close, but not this. Bill, how about you? What did you think?
Well, I'm a little bit like you. I predicted that the European team would win, as you know, but certainly I didn't expect it to be like this, certainly at this moment. But watching it, a couple things stand out to me. I think there's a tremendous home course advantage. It's an awkward course, it looks like. The Europeans have played it a lot. We have not. And they've set it up to the European team's advantage with very narrow fairways, very deep rough, and pretty much have negated the Americans' power advantage, because our good power players can't drive the ball in the ocean, it looks like, and they can't get the ball in the fairway and holes that they're laying up on. So I think that obviously the Europeans are playing great, but I think it's a brilliant setup of the course by Thomas Bjorn and the European officials to take advantage of their strengths and to accentuate the American team's weaknesses. as I think I said last week, Colin Montgomery said one of the big things about playing in Europe is we played the Ryder Cup on courses that we play tournaments on, and the Americans do not. They set it up on courses that they only play majors on, which most of the top players have played. So I think there's some validity to that statement.
Yeah, certainly is. And if you look at what's happened so far, the story of the tournament for the Europeans has been Molinari and Fleetwood. They are 3-0 entering today, and they could have a chance to move to 4-0 as a pairing. What have you made of this, Charlie? They have been incredible.
Well, they're two great golfers. There's no doubt about it. Molinari is the champion golfer of the year, winning the Open Championship. And Fleetwood has proven that he can really play well. He finished second at Shinnecockville. I mean, he proved that he's a gamer. And so their game is beating our game. And you're right. But isn't a three-wood easier to get in the fairway than the driver? Why don't these guys that are driving it all over the place go back to a three-wood?
Well, it's a mystery to me, Charlie, to be honest with you. And anytime you make a golf course tight, you take away the freewheeling aspect of some of our long drivers. And most of them are not used to trying to hit it in the fairway. And I think it's been brilliant. I think it's been a brilliant move by the Europeans, and I still am resonating what Montgomery said, is that they always have the Ryder Cup on a course that they play tour events. Charlie, you've seen this course, and this course, just watching it on TV, does not look like it would be easy to learn in 2 or 3 days and play it against players that have played it 30, 40, 50 times with different pin placements, different conditions. So I think it's been a brilliant move on the European part. I really do.
And the golf course, it goes left, it goes right. It has some hidden pin placements, and the wind, and it's cold. It's you know, although they're playing in short sleeves, but the fact of the matter is, these guys are really good. The
Europeans,
I mean, and they got the momentum. And we started out great yesterday. We had a 3-1 lead, and then all of a sudden, you know, everything went south. Why? I can't put my finger on it. I mean, I think these guys can adapt to courses, but fairways are a premium, and they're missing too many fairways.
Okay,
also hard to deny that Tiger and Phil have not won a match. DeChambeau has not done anything, so our captain's picks have been performed disastrously, really, to be honest with you. They just haven't performed at all, and the European captain's picks are playing well, which we wondered about that on our show, so we have to eat crow there. And the Ryder Cup rookies on the European team have performed wonderfully. So, you know, let's face it, any way you slice it, this has just been an all-around butt-kicking so far. And there's no way to get around it. They are just kicking us bad, big-time bad.
I just can't believe they paired Phil in the alternate shot and not in the foursomes. Four-ball, I can't believe that. But, Brian, how about you? You're looking at it from a different, you know, you're a football guy and baseball guy. What do you think of this competition?
Yeah, I've been absolutely shocked, Charlie. And to your point about Phil, that was the biggest criticism that Jim Furyk got, is the fact that he put Phil in the alternate shot. I think he really hurt Bryson DeChambeau in that particular case, too. And the one that really sticks out to me is Patrick Reed. Labeled Captain America, he had the highest winning percentage, I think it was, coming into this for any American player. And if you look at Patrick Reed in the early sessions, they only used four of his scores, I should say, in the early sessions. Patrick Reed has really played poorly, and I get Tiger has not been great either. I mean, you even had Molinari's brother, Eduardo Molinari, really trolling him on Twitter. He tweeted, "Captain America must have no passport, no sights of him in Paris at Ryder Cup Europe." So Patrick Reed, I'm surprised at how poorly he has played. But to Bill's point, maybe part of that is Patrick Reed with the driver has struggled really for a good 5-6 weeks now, and that's really hurt him in this tournament.
He struggled since he won the Masters.
Yeah.
He didn't come in here in good form. So that doesn't surprise me. But it's just so much fun. And now I'm looking at it on television, and now they're down into the Thule's. But it's so much fun. The
Europeans, that's Rory's tee shot.
I mean, they're going to have 270,000 people there, Bill, watching this Ryder Cup, watching golf. I mean, spectators love the game of golf. Not necessarily playing it, but they like to watch it.
Well, no, it's a tremendous event, and I think it's been a great event. The crowds and everything involved. You got to tip your hats to the Europeans as of right now. They're really making this thing a joke. I believe at one point they won 7 straight matches, which is just hard to imagine. Just saw a stat put on the TV that Bubba Watson is 1-7 in Ryder Cup matches played in Europe. 1-7. How about that?
Wow.
So I don't know what to say other than, they all teed off with 14 clubs, a bunch of balls, some pretty uniforms and stuff, and the Europeans are just kicking our butt. No other way to put it.
Yeah, you know what, Bill? As you say that about Bubba Watson, he just missed a putt that would have kept them up 2 up right now. And now him and Webb Simpson go back to being 1 up. But some of these pairings that the U.S. has put together, are you guys surprised that we hadn't seen the Brooks Koepka-Dustin Johnson pairing until now? Although, if you look at Koepka and Finau, they really didn't play that poorly together. They won their opening match, and then this morning, I don't think they played poorly, really. It's just they got beat. But I was surprised to see the Webb Simpson and Bubba Watson pairing this afternoon. Were you guys?
Well, I think, they got whitewashed, and they got to give the other guys a chance. And as Simpson, they could pull out one. But like Bill just said, Bubba's record in the Ryder Cup's not very good. So, I don't know. Maybe they should have played a couple of vice captains.
Well, Bubba and Webb Simpson played pretty good at the President's Cup in Australia. And, they're good friends. They're both very religious guys. I think on some of these teams, who you pair Bubba with is a big deal. And so at the President's Cup in South Korea, I think they paired him with J.B. Holmes every time. So he seems to be one of those guys that the captains have to worry about who they pair him with. I really believe that, by the way.
Bill, what's the reason for that?
The only real surprise pairing to me, to be honest with you, was Phil and DeChambeau in the alternate shot. For the most part, all of these guys are, terrific players on both teams. But to put those two guys who drive the ball like a siege gun together on alternate shot on a tight fairway, now, I can tell you, there's no more level-headed or well-thought-out person than I've ever met than Jim Furyk. And like I said, I by nature don't criticize pairings, but I think that pairing and coming from a guy as thoughtful as Jim Furyk was just shocking to me.
Yeah, and his assistant captain. So we're still not out of it. Something can turn around. I mean, it's happened before. We got to watch this afternoon and tomorrow's singles. So there's a lot more golf to be played, and sometimes you just got to turn it around and something good's going to happen.
All right. A lot more golf to be played, a lot more of this show to go. We'll continue to talk about the Ryder Cup as it's the biggest event really in the sports world this weekend. So we'll continue to get into that. Plus, and Bill kind of alluded to it, how much blame will Jim Furyk get if the U.S. is to lose this Ryder Cup? You're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour. We're right here on SB Nation Radio and locally on Houston on SportsMap 94.1.
This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, powered by Insperity on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps, here's Brian Barrett.
All right, well, we're just alluding to some of the pairings that have struggled so far for the Americans. And right now, just to give you an update on everything that's going on the course, it's been really, Jordan Spieth and Justin Thomas, who have been the good team for the Americans. They've won 2 of their 3 matches. Right now, Johnson and Koepka through 6 as with Rose and Stenson. That one's all square right now. Watson and Simpson 1 up through 5 on Garcia and Norin. Molinari and Fleetwood 2 up through 4 on Tiger and DeChambeau. And Poulter and McIlroy 2 up through 3 on Thomas and Jordan Spieth. So, Bill, you kind of alluded to the Phil Mickelson and the Bryson DeChambeau as one of the pairings that didn't make any sense to you. Charlie, was there a pairing that really perplexed you?
Well, that was the big one. That was, you know, Phil Kent, you know, came in playing poorly and very poor with the driver, and he even laid up into the water with an iron. So that just was a surprising pairing. But there's three more, you know, groups. You know, there's still, Europe is playing so much better and doing everything so much better than we are.
Yeah, that's for sure. And this year,
but I think it always happens in Ryder Cup, and I think it's unfair that the captain always gets blamed for the loss. And you look at the quality of these 24 players, and sure, that pairing we talked about was a little bit of a head-scratcher, but the players have to play. Who they're paired with really doesn't affect how they play, in my opinion, because they don't get to pick who they play with every single tournament they play in. So I think a little bit of it's overrated. The fact of the matter is we haven't played well, and the Europeans have. And Jim Furyk is one of the most decent, honest, well-thought-out person. I can assure you that he's dedicated his life the last 2 years to this. But it doesn't make any difference if the players don't play well.
Well, yeah,
captain's on the sideline with an earphone in his ear. So it's really, I think this thing about the captains can be very overrated. Certainly the blame that they get. Jim Furyk is respected and honored by every player on that team, believe me.
Yeah, and you have to expect that Dustin Johnson and Ricky Fowler, that pairing was going to go better than 1 and 2. You look at the Patrick Reed-Tiger Woods pairing, the fact that they could not get a 1. Tiger, of course, right now is staring down possibly being 0-3 at this Ryder Cup. Which American player has really stepped up? I mean, Justin Thomas and Spieth have played well as a pairing, but there's been times that Spieth has struggled. So who's really been good for the Americans?
Hey, nobody. Spieth and them are, but it's golf. It's parity. It's world golf. This is the world golf tour, not the PGA tour. The kids from all over the world are getting so much better, and this just illustrates how well Europe and these players on the European team have adjusted, and they're good, and they listen, and they learn, and they come to the United States, and they play there, and they play all over the world. So it's not surprising that this is happening. I'm not surprised. I'm not disappointed. I'm not blaming Jim Furyk. I don't really care who wins. In one sense, you just got to enjoy the competition. And I think the competition has just been incredible. And the most important thing, 270,000 people from all over Europe came to watch golf in Paris, France. And that's really the big story. You know, that to me is just mind-boggling, Bill, that this has been so well received all over continental Europe.
Well, this event almost runs itself these days as far as the interest and the excitement about it. And, you know, Charlie, I do think that somehow, some way, the European team has some kind of psychological edge in these matches. I think that for years they were, you know, getting beat down and they were downtrodden, and finally they slapped the bully in the face. And let's face it, the bully has not responded well to the slap in the last 25 years. They have figured out a way to get into the American team's head. They seem to have an edge about them that we don't have. They seem to have an energy that we don't have. I don't know what it is. I can't describe it. It's just really fascinating to me how well they play in this tournament, in this competition. But you know, Brian, I've been saying for months that I thought that the Europeans were setting up the Americans for this week. You know,
I said it about
4 or 5 months ago, I said it.
Yeah.
Oh, they're so good and blah, blah, blah. And I said, beware here. This is a setup. And I think this thing with the task force and all the publicity it got last Ryder Cup when the Americans won, I really think for somehow, some way, the Europeans have a way of taking this stuff and using it to their advantage. And, you know, I'm sure they got tired of hearing about the task force. Hey, you beat us one time out of the last 10. All of a sudden, you got it figured out, you know. So, so far, kudos to the Europeans. It's fascinating to me, like Charlie said, you know, why can't you lay up on some of these holes and get it in the fairway? We just keep bombing drives into the rough. So it's been a first class, you know, butt-whipping so far in every sense of the word.
Well, you know what's interesting is I remember watching the Golf Channel after they made the picks, the captain selections and whatnot. And one of the things that Brandel Chamblee pointed out, who also said this is the deepest American team of all time, and remember that conversation we had, but nonetheless, he made the comment about the captain's picks, and one of the points he made about the American team is they have all these bombers. So he was upset with the Tony Finau pick because he said, you already have 7 or 8 Tony Finaus. He thought that maybe somebody like Kevin Kisner, who putts well and is always hitting the ball straight, and somebody like Kyle Stanley, who hits the ball straight, he felt like with Jim Furyk's captain's pick, he didn't think that they made picks that they needed to win the tournament. They just made picks that were the better players, so to speak. So maybe that is an argument for maybe the way the roster was constructed.
Well, look how straight Fleetwood and Molinari have driven it, and they've just wiped everybody off the course, you know.
Well, it just proves the fact that experience isn't that valuable here. The rookies on the European team are playing quite well, and if Kisner or Xander would have played instead of Mickelson, we might have had a better chance, but that's hindsight. We were all
well,
okay
Charlie,
with
you have been beating that drum for quite a while. I got to give you credit on that. I'm a little surprised it took you 35 minutes to get to it. But
well, you do you often
have, talking
do all
about the experience that we have is experience losing this event. And
yeah,
they keep putting
you're
in
all
players that haven't performed well in it.
You always do all the talking. You don't give me a chance to get my opinion in.
He gets upset, Brian, even when I compliment him.
I think it's great. I want to hear what Mickelson's going to say after this if we go on to lose. I'm still holding out. I still, there's a little chance that something good can happen. So,
okay, well, Charlie,
and that's yes.
To your point, you said you're still holding out hope for the Americans. What would the number be today? What do they have to cut it to have a chance to win in singles tomorrow? Is there a number you have in mind?
Well, they have to go 3-1 today.
3-1
I think
today.
3-1 today. I don't think they're going to close these, you know, sweep these guys this afternoon. 3-1, that would get us, what, within two? So then, you know, we've come back
before. I think if they get within three, they got a fighting chance.
Yeah.
So you're saying within three, Bill, you would give them a chance?
Yeah, I think they have to win this session by at least 1 point. And if they do win the session by a point, it gives them a little confidence. They need a little something to get them going right now because all the energy is with the European team. But if you get within three and you get up quick tomorrow, then it's game on. So, but I'd be very surprised if they'd come back from four down. The course doesn't lend itself to that for them, I don't think.
Yeah, and especially the way that these European players have been playing on this course, you would figure going into singles, they're going to be ultra confident to begin with.
Yeah, they're ultra confident anyway, and I keep going back. Just listening to Montgomery last week on the Golf Channel, he talked about putting, and the Europeans always play it on a course that they play a tour event, so there is a home course advantage here that the Americans do not take advantage of when the Ryder Cup is in America because the PGA is running it, not the PGA Tour. You follow me, Charlie?
Hey, I'm listening to you. I'm listening. I'm taking all this in, but I'm really ready to talk about football.
Charlie,
yeah, well,
they got you that depressed. You just said earlier that it doesn't matter who wins to you in some sense.
Well, we've already said all what we can say. I mean, we're going to keep repeating ourselves like Billy's doing.
All right. Well, hey, we haven't gotten Bill's reaction to what Tiger Woods did last weekend yet, so we'll get Bill's reaction to that. Charlie was on my show earlier in the week, so we can get his thoughts on that as well. Plus, we continue to talk about this Ryder Cup. Tough, tough performance so far for the United States. You're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour right here on SB Nation Radio and Sportsmap 94.1.
This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, powered by Insperity on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps, here's Brian Barrett.
All right, so last week, of course, Tiger Woods wins the Tour Championship. This week, he's struggling at the Ryder Cup. Now, one of the things that they're discussing is changes to the FedEx Cup, and it is kind of weird. The Tiger Woods won that tournament last week. Justin Rose was waiting for his $10 million, so there was kind of an applause for Justin Rose, and then Tiger got the huge roar. Now, they're possibly discussing a situation where basically the leader would go into the tournament and start at, like, say, I don't know, minus six or eight under par, something along those lines. Do you guys think the FedEx Cup needs to be altered?
I wouldn't be disagreeable to any change to try to make it better, so that instead of having two winners on the weekend, you just have one. But you're kind of reinventing the wheel again. We just get used to one system, and now we're going to go to another system, Bill. And plus, it's going to be a big payday. I mean, $15 million to the winner, that's not a bad paycheck, Bill.
Well, and plus, regardless of what system they've had, no one understands it. So I follow golf pretty closely, and I can't really tell you all the time that I understand what they're doing with this thing.
Bill, I felt like I was watching an election the other night when I was watching the final round. It was like the election.
It's interesting, I guess, but when you have an event like this with a huge payoff like that, and the people that do follow the game pretty closely don't understand it and don't understand where everybody stands, it's kind of unusual. So I know I'm being critical, but I want to temper that, but I don't know if I have the solution to it. So, like Charlie, I applaud them for trying to change it and make it better, et cetera, but at the moment, I'm not too sure I know what to do or say about it. So, although last week was one of the most exciting things I'd ever seen in golf, I must say.
Yeah, it was the highest-rated tour championship in the history of the event. No surprise, because Tiger Woods, was the one that pulled off the victory. Had you guys seen a scene like that before, Charlie? I mean, that scene was absolutely remarkable. I think, who'd you compare it to earlier in the week? Something with when Arnold Palmer won something, Charlie?
Yeah, when he won over the British Open, and the British Open, they allow the public to come onto the fairway on 18, and it was magnificent. They did it with Bobby Jones. But that scene for Tiger was just, it just shows you the love and the interest that people have in Tiger Woods, just the persona, and that was so neat. Bill, it gave me goosebumps. They were buying tickets Saturday night to be able to watch Tiger play golf. So if you don't think people don't like watching golf, you're crazy after seeing that.
Yeah, I too thought this scene was just incredible. They do allow the galleries to come in the fairway in the last hole of the Open Championship. But there was just something about this with Tiger, his comeback, him winning this event, going head-to-head with Rory, the young players that supposedly were not going to be intimidated by Tiger Woods played very poorly playing with him. It was a tremendous scene. I can't imagine how much the last month has taken out of Tiger. He seems almost listless in this event, to be honest with you. But it was a tremendous, tremendous scene. Great for the game of golf. The game of golf once again wins.
Yeah, and it was a tremendous scene, too, in the opening ceremony in Paris when Tiger Woods was introduced. It was amazing. And they just kept chanting Tiger's name after the applause. And considering that, he's playing on foreign soil, I get he's Tiger Woods. But that was pretty cool to watch that as well. So one of the things that I was looking at is with Tiger and Phil, out of the last seven times that they've played together at the Ryder Cup, they've lost every time but one. The last time, I believe, if I'm doing my math correctly here, and I'm looking back through the rosters and whatnot, the last time they won together was 99 in Brookline.
That's correct.
I did not know that.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty good.
They've been on the winning team, they're 1-6, is that right, Brian?
Yeah, I think that's right.
Yep. Hard to imagine.
Yeah, unbelievable. So, I don't know, maybe it's something about When Phil's there, it's Phil's team. When Tiger's there, it's Tiger's team. Not to say that they're the best players, but they're kind of the alpha male in the room. Wouldn't you say, like, when Tiger Woods is with the team and then with Phil's with the team?
I just want to know if Phil's going to grow his hair as long as Tommy Fleetwood. It's getting there, don't you think, Phil?
I'll tell you what, if I could play like him, I'd grow it down to my hiney.
That's true, too.
If I could get to swing and play like that guy, I wouldn't care what my hair looked like. I'd do it.
Yeah.
Now having said all of this about the Ryder Cup and what Tiger has done with the FedEx, match about in November is going to be on paid television with Phil and Tiger. Do you think it's going to be well watched, or are you going to have any interest in it, Bill? Are you going to pay for it?
I'm going to have zero interest in it.
Yeah, I would watch it if it was free. You know, they're already playing for $10 million. I would watch it if it was free. The problem, too, is you put it on the weekend of Thanksgiving where people are busy to begin with, and people think about Thanksgiving, they think about football. I just think the timing of it was poor. I mean, even if you remember when that poster originally came out, I feel like they've done a bad job putting this together. Remember the poster when it came out, Tiger had a lefty driver? I know that's nitpicking, but it just seems like this situation was not well put together. And, like, what are we going to get? Are they both going to be – is it going to be different? Are they going to be mic'd up? Are they going to be talking trash back and forth? It just seems like – I don't know. I don't know how appealing this is going to be. And if we're watching it, what they've done the second half of the season, really, I feel like Tiger is going to smoke them.
Yeah,
like I said, I have just zero interest in it. Just, I couldn't care less, actually.
Yeah.
And Tiger and DeChambeau just went three down.
Yeah, and they're up against that buzzsaw. Charlie, Molinari, and Fleetwood. But how about that putt, Jordan?
Well, those guys can hit it straight, and our guys are hitting it like a seed gun. What's happening, don't you say, Charlie?
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. I mean, no fairways. You know, I don't know why they don't go three wood, but that's the way they play golf.
Yeah, Jordan Spieth just hit a big putt, though, to tie things up with Ann Poulter and Rory McIlroy. They were down too early, and Spieth just drilled a long putt. And right now on the course, Johnson and Koepka down by a hole through eight with Rose and Stenson. But if you look at it, Bubba Watson and Webb Simpson, two up through six on Sergio and Alex Noren. So there's still a chance here that they could get what you guys are saying, is get a 3-1 today and have a chance in the singles if you can get a little bit of a comeback from Koepka and Johnson, and if Thomas and Spieth can finish off McIlroy and Poulter. A lot of ifs here. I'm just saying these scenarios could paint out. I wonder, though, with the alternate shot yesterday, it was, what, the first time that that's happened, an alternate shot that a team swept 4-0 since 1989? Why do you think the U.S. struggles so much in the alternate shot? It seems like that's been something that they've had trouble with in the past as well.
Well, I have no idea. I have no reason why they struggle in that. I mean, Bill, do you have any idea?
Well,
I mean, they play good.
Probably they play alternate shot a little bit more in Europe than we don't play it at all. But I think at times, Charlie, I think you can verify this, you can get on a Muirfield Village and they'll tell you that, Muirfield in Scotland, they'll tell you got to play alternate shot today.
Oh,
so
sure.
It's a way of golf over there that is not a way of golf in our country. And
but
for
whatever
reason, they're not able to come up with a formula to pair people together. To me, I think you have to have a straight hitter in the group. I just can't see having two people that hit it sideways. It just makes no sense to me, especially in a course where you're chipping out of the rough.
Haven't we had great success in alternate shot in the President's Cup?
I don't know that.
I think we have. We've had more success
because we win almost every President's Cup. So
you'd have to
say we have been more successful because we win all of them.
Yeah. So, but, you know, let's just hope for a good day tomorrow with great matches in the morning and get it close. And that would be really, really neat to see again. That the last few holes on a Ryder Cup match play, and especially that golf course, Bill. How about those closing holes? How about the 18th hole?
Oh, the last few holes are incredible, and it seems like we can't get a drive in the fairway on that one little par four where you got to lay up. Cannot get in the fairway.
Hey, Bill, how cold is it in Kohler?
Well, I'm up here with my Toscana members. We played the Irish course at Whistling Straits. We're playing today at Black Wolf Run. And at the very moment, it's 40 degrees with about a 10, 15-mile-an-hour wind going. So you tell me what it feels like. I was coming out of 110 degrees. I'm cold.
How did they talk you into doing that? Didn't you check the weather before you left?
I wasn't involved in the decision-making. I'm here to make my members' trips more enjoyable.
And I know you can do it.
Yeah. Well, hey,
yes,
you know,
I can.
You know what, Bill? A lot of our listeners plan golf trips. Like, you just planned a golf trip. So give us a lowdown here. How many holes are you playing? How long have you been away for this thing?
This is a five-day trip. We're going to play four different courses up here. It's a magnificent place, magnificent golf courses. So if someone wanted to plan a guy's trip or a mixed couples trip, I would highly recommend coming up here to Kohler. And the accommodations are wonderful. The courses are wonderful. They're very professional in how they take care of you. So I'd give them an A+ from what I could see. I just wish they'd turn the heat on a little bit.
Yes.
Yeah, the golf course in the resort is one of the best ones in the world. And Mr. Kohler, you know, he put his money back in that part of the world, and it's a great destination. And they're going to have the Ryder Cup there pretty soon, aren't they, Bill?
Well, it's the next one.
Yeah. So
in 2020.
Yeah.
So they're already preparing for it.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. And I believe, isn't Andy North from Wisconsin, somewhere up in Wisconsin? He won the U.S. Open twice.
So is Stricker.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's a fun golf trip. Charlie, what's the best one you've been on?
Well, you know, I'll always say Scotland, but I love going to Pebble Beach. I love going to Kohler. I've been to Wingfoot with Bill. I mean, there's so many great destinations out on Long Island and Play Shinnecock. Those are real special. And so there's so many great spots to go. Bill, I mean, that's one thing. If you really want to travel and see the world and play all the golf courses, it's really fun.
No doubt about it. No doubt about that. All right, and Charlie is the guy that got to play a practice round with, who was it, Gary Player, Jack Nicklaus, and Arnold Palmer. Charlie, wasn't that it one time for you?
Oh, yeah, that was in the PGA Seniors down at PGA National, and that was the thrill of my life. It was almost kind of like playing with Bill Harmon and Dick Harmon and Claude Harmon. Not quite.
All right, we'll be right back. You're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour right here nationally on SB Nation Radio and locally in Houston on SportsMap 94.1.
This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, powered by Insperity on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's Brian Barrett.
All right, one of the things I'm wondering, you guys are better to answer it than I am, is some of these guys out there, Molinari and Fleetwood and Jordan Spieth and Justin Thomas, Dustin Johnson's been out there, guys that are out there for every match, how tiring is that?
Well, you're going on adrenaline, and it's nice and fresh. It's not hot. Golfers at this time of year are in good shape, and they would much rather be on the golf course than watching, that's for sure. So I don't think fatigue's a problem. Do you, Bill?
Well, the statistics show that it is, that people that play in five matches fare very poorly in the singles match. So that's a statistical fact. So,
okay.
You know, there is a lot of adrenaline and a lot of that stuff, but five matches in 3 days, Charlie, is a lot of golf under intense pressure. And so I don't know if they get physically tired, but emotionally I bet it's quite difficult for them to stay on top of things. So the statistics do indicate that the people that play in five matches usually fare very poorly in the single.
Yeah, especially some of the guys that are really fiery, maybe. Like Justin Thomas, we know, is really fiery. He's been out there all day as well. Maybe it's not as taxing on Fleetwood and Molinari because they've had such an easy time so far. Hey, one other thing I want to touch on before we go for the day is I sent you guys earlier in the week Tiger Woods' video from the Ryder Cup, and they were asking him for his Mount Rushmore of golf, and he said Snead, Bobby Jones, Jack, and himself. I thought it was cool at the end how he just says, and me. I really like that. Any arguments with his Mount Rushmore?
Oh, no, that's just his opinion. You know, he deserves to be there right in the middle of it. What he's done, I mean, it's just been phenomenal.
Well, he's definitely on it, that's for sure. So I thought him putting himself on it was totally justifiable. And actually, I thought he did a pretty good job mentioning himself last instead of first.
What about Arnold Palmer? Would you throw him in there or no?
No. I'd put Ben Hogan on there before I put Arnold on there.
You know, I think if you've won the Grand Slam, that puts you up on your Mount Rushmore. Win all four majors. I think that's a distinguished group of people, and there's only six people that have ever done that. So if I had to do a Mount Rushmore, I would do it that way.
All right. Well, hey, Charlie, have a great time in Michigan, and Bill, have a great time with the rest of your golf
trip. Thanks, guys.
And we'll talk next week.
See you next week. Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, anytime. And we'll see if the Americans can pull off this comeback. They're down 8-4 right now as we're in the afternoon sessions at the Ryder Cup. We'll talk to you next week. For Charlie Epps and Bill Harmon, thanks to Jose Portita for producing. Have a great afternoon, everybody. Be safe and be well.